we have another very tricky subject to look at this morning as we consider the world of work. Yes, we are continuing our series Whispers of Eternity, and we are continuing to be challenged by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. But Paul is not addressing employers and employees. He is addressing, of course, slaves and masters. And there are plenty of people who do not agree with what the Apostle Paul wrote, because they assume that he was condoning slavery. But perhaps they have misunderstood exactly what he was saying and exactly to whom he was in fact writing. So please open your Bibles with me and let's see what Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Paul says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Ever since the beginning of time, work has been an integral part of the human experience. And before even any human being ever did a day's work, Genesis chapters 1 and 2 tell us that God did 6 days' work and then he rested. So work in its perfect form can be very creative, and work in its original expression was not oppressive at all. And in Genesis chapter 1, which Gareth and Anne read to us earlier, God blessed the first people he had created and he gave them work to do. Yes, he gave them jobs. Now, we don't get the job title in the Bible, but we do get the job description in verse 28. "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue the earth, rule over the fish in the sea, rule over the birds in the sky, and rule over every living creature that moves on the ground." Their job description was very creative, and as you know, there was nothing oppressive in that job description. And at that point, if you think about it, they were truly holy in 2 senses. First of all, they were holy in the sense that sin had not yet entered the world. And secondly, as the word holy actually means set apart, they were holy in this sense too. You see, out of all of creation, they were set apart. Everything else had been created by God simply saying, "Let there be." But with the first man, we are told in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the man and woman were also set apart from all the other creatures that God had created. All the creatures were made according to their kinds. That is to say, the elephant was like the elephant and the giraffe was like the giraffe. But the man and the woman, they were made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that the sea creatures, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground were made according to their kinds. But when it came to the man and the woman, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." And of course, of all creation, it was to the man that God spoke and gave him a job description. But of course, we only have to turn the page to Genesis chapter 3 to see that things went wrong very quickly. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world and everything changed, including the world of work. And God said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and you ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food." When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world and everything changed, including the world of work. And it did not take long for tainted humanity to realize that when God said, "By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food," that, well, if you exploit others and hold them in servitude, then it is possible to force them to work for you so that you eat good things by the sweat of their brow. And perhaps that is the simplest definition of slavery. People are forced to work against their will so that others benefit from their labor. Slavery is one of the names for this state of affairs, but it has been called many other things throughout history. Serfdom in the ancient world, and I think it's true to say many aspects of capitalism in the modern world. And of course, communism too. In all these systems, whilst there may be some advantages to the system in question, you find some people getting very rich, whilst some other people who are working for them get very little and at times are abused and forced to work against their will. Sometimes they are forced by the threat of a beating. Other times they are forced by the threat of financial ruin and starvation if they refuse to work for the only employer within walking distance of where they live. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world and everything changed, including the world of work. Work which was intended to be very creative has become very oppressive for millions of people throughout all generations and in every corner of the world. And I want you to get this, my friends. The Apostle Paul is sometimes accused of not campaigning for political change. He is accused of not preaching against slavery and not campaigning for its overthrow. But we have to understand something. Political change does not come overnight. And when it does eventually come, it does not get to the heart of the problem. Because the heart of the problem is not the system. The heart of the problem is the human heart. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is not addressing the system, he is addressing the human heart. And we've got to understand that. Romanians will tell you that their overthrow of communism in December 1989 did not solve their problems. In many ways, they exchanged a difficult situation for an impossible situation. And as we have said, Paul is often accused. Why did he not preach and campaign for the abolition of slavery in these verses in Ephesians chapter 6? And in order to answer that question, we need to go back to the beginning and remind ourselves, in fact, of two beginnings. Number one, the beginning of work. We need to remind ourselves that work, as we have already said, was first of all done by Holy God, and he ordained in the Garden of Eden that holy people should also work. And number two, we need to go back to the beginning of this letter that we are studying at present, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we need to remind ourselves to whom he is writing. Please turn back in your Bibles to chapter 1 and verse 1 of Ephesians. What does it say? Have a quick look. To God's holy people in Ephesus. Paul is addressing God's holy people. Do you get it? The command to work in the Garden of Eden was given to God's holy people and to no one else. And the encouragement by Paul to slaves in Ephesus to work was given to God's holy people and to no one else. And if we understand that, well, it completely changes our understanding of what Paul is saying. He is not teaching unbelieving slaves. He is not addressing pagan slaves. He is not addressing slaves who see themselves as citizens of this world. No, he is addressing slaves who are part of the church of the risen Lord Jesus. He is only addressing slaves who have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. And he addresses their masters too. And we'll see more of that in part two. Welcome back to part two. And in view of everything we have said so far, let's remind ourselves of what Paul says to holy people in Ephesus who happen to be slaves, and to holy people in Ephesus who happen to be slave masters. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 5, Paul says, Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and respect, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. There are two key words in verses 5 and 9. Earthly and heaven. Earthly master and master in heaven. And here we have a whisper of eternity. Whilst we are living here on earth, and whilst our human interactions at work are so tainted by sin, we must remember our master in heaven. There is so much more to life than this present existence here on earth. We must live and love and respect here on earth as we look forward to eternity. The Lord is the ultimate judge who will reward each person for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Paul is addressing slaves and masters. And slavery was and is an abusive system where some people are exploited by others. And in the world of work today, if you are willing to agree, we still have a situation where some people are being exploited by some others. Now, I am not suggesting that all employer-employee relationships are abusive, but some certainly are. So, if you are willing, let's now apply Paul's teaching to the world of work today. Many of us have been employees, and many have become an employer at times too. Many of us have a boss at work, but at the same time, we are also someone else's boss. And of course, if we use the correct jargon today, we will not talk about bosses, but about line managers. And many of us have first-hand experience of working under an abusive and selfish line manager. Within the world of work, people often get to the top by putting others down. But equally, if you have ever been a line manager yourself, you may have had the privilege of leading a brilliant and dedicated team, but you may also have experience of trying to supervise others who were lazy or insincere. And of course, Paul addresses all these issues here in Ephesians. Now, notwithstanding the fact that as employees today we have legal rights and protections which we could and should use if appropriate, and an HR department and unions, etc., etc. I would say that we can generally apply Paul's teaching in our job situation today. So let me please paraphrase his teaching for 2021. And please remember, this is not teaching for Joe Public. This won't make sense to your neighbour who does not love Jesus. This is teaching for us, for God's holy people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, set apart to live holy lives wherever we are and in the world of work. So here is my paraphrase. Those of you who have a job, it is good if you respect your line manager and do what they ask with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Do what they ask not only to win their favour when they can see what you are doing, or when you're hoping for a promotion, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whatever their employment status. And those of you who are line managers, treat those you supervise in the same way. Do not exploit them or be unfair, because you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. The world of work changed massively when sin entered the world. And I sense that it has changed a lot in the last 30 odd years since I've been in the labour market. And especially in the last year since the outbreak of COVID. And maybe our attitude towards work needs to change too. Gone are the days of a job for life, when Jim trained as a carpenter and Betty as a florist, and they worked from the age of 16 right through to retirement at the same company. Many of us have done many different jobs during our working life, and when redundancy or unemployment hits, it can shake us and unsettle us. And as jobs become less guaranteed, and as it becomes more normal to do a job which is not your first choice of job, that is to say, not part of your intended career, we are going to find increasingly that we will gain satisfaction and indeed sanity if we focus not only on what we do at work, but also if we focus on how we are at work. That is to say, our attitude towards the people around us at work. If we can work in a so-called dead-end job, working not for man, but as if serving the Lord, then we will find that the so-called dead-end job, in fact, becomes an open-ended job as we choose to serve the Lord and witness to our colleagues in the world of work. We need to see how important it is to gain God's heart on this matter of work, to understand how he sees the world of work. Perhaps we can have our last slide now, please. Before we close, I want to share with you a case study concerning two of Paul's friends. One of them was called Onesimus, and the other one was called Philemon. One was a slave and the other a slave owner, and they lived in a world tainted by sin, and in their world, slavery was the norm. But, and there's a big but, both of them were born again. Both were set apart for Christ and made holy, and both of them were called to be holy. Now, something went wrong, and I suggest you read the full story to find out what happened. And by the way, you will find it in the New Testament, a letter called Philemon, which contains just 25 verses, and you can read it in 5 minutes. So there's been this problem between Philemon and his slave, and Paul intervenes, and he suggests that they get back together with a new and godly relationship, no longer as slave and master, but as dear brothers. And perhaps you can imagine them having a tea or a coffee together and reading the Word of God. God has made us holy, and he is calling us to be holy in the world of work. Amen.